This morning, we're going to take a look at a text in which Paul tells us of God's demonstration of love for us. And I think it's very interesting as we come forward, or as we come together and we celebrate the confirmation of these 8 students, because it really tells us kind of what the last song that we sang during our singing time, "He who began a good work will be faithful to complete it." Doesn't tell you how good you are or what you have done, but what God will continue to do throughout your lives. Because He sent His Son to die for your sins, past, present, and future, so that we could all be saved. And because of this act of mercy, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the reading of the Word. Reading in Jesus' name. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And a hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love towards us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Amen. Please be seated. Our text starts out with Paul telling us that we are justified by faith, or therefore we are justified by faith. And so really, to understand, we have to go back and find out what he was talking about in chapter 4. And in chapter 4, Paul tells us about Abraham, who is considered our father, the father of us all. And what it says is that he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It does not say that Abraham was perfect. It does not say that Abraham didn't sin. It does not say that Abraham followed the law, because in fact, he didn't even have the law. It didn't come in until 400 years later. What it says is that he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Therefore, having justified by faith, we have peace with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that becomes the thing, that we believe God is not out to get us. That we believe God, that he actually sent his Son, as we will hear earlier, to die for our sins and to take his wrath. And this is the important part, because it's not what you are going to do. Because I'm sure that is if you ask your parents or your grandparents or people who are a lot older than you, if they ever messed up in their lives, they'll tell you absolutely. But if you find one who is a believer in Christ, he will also say, or she will say, that I also know I am forgiven for that. Because that's the thing that makes us understand that we have peace with God. And it is in this that we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace for which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. This really tells us that we have joy in this hope, that we actually looking at what God has done for us with joy. It's not something that's sad. It's sad He had to go through it, but for us, it is actually the thing that we have joy in over everything. And this says exalt. And do you know what exalt means? It's kind of one of those religious words we throw around. But it means that we have joy in triumph. We have joy in the utter victory. That's what you have. In what Jesus Christ has done for you and for all of us, you have victory. He has overcome sin, death, and the devil. And because of this, we can celebrate in any situation that we have in our lives. And you're going to have it. Verse 3 says this, "We also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring out perseverance." Tribulations basically only means things that are against us. We kind of look at tribulation as this big thing at the end of the earth that we're all going through. And that's not it. Tribulation, when it gets down to its essence, is just the troubles and the sorrows that we have here. And ask anyone. And you know yourselves, we have them. But those same tribulations which we face each and every day also bring about perseverance. Knowing that even as we look back on our lives and we see those things that we went through, that we made it through. And we can look back again and understand that each and every time that we've faced these tough times in our life, God has brought us through. He has not left us to despair. And so, that brings about character. If you want to know about character, go talk to some of your grandparents. Even your parents. Character is the thing that has got them these many years. But it's not seen until you're old. And I truly believe that. You never really judge a person's character until the end. We like to think about character as something that we have right now. But actually, according to this, it's something that God develops in us over time as we have hope, as we overcome, and as we trust in Him. And proven character brings hope. And hope is something that we all can have. Hope means a feeling that something is not going to end us. If we think about the hardships that we've had in our lives, and we all have them, we can think about the worst possible things that we've gone through, and yet God, who began a good work in you, was faithful to bring those things, or bring you through those things. When we are in faith, or when we are new to faith, we sometimes have a hard time dealing with life situations. And we really don't see the hand of God in our lives. And as we get older, and as we look back on our lives, you kind of do one of these numbers. Oh, God was working through that whole deal. And see, that's the thing. We sometimes think that God isn't working because we're in the midst of a struggle. But God is working. And He's promised to work. And He will continue to work. Right up until that time that He takes us home. And that hope that we have in God does not disappoint us, because He has poured out His Spirit and given it to each and every one of you. And I know this, I say this many times when I talk about the Holy Spirit, but to me this is one of the most wonderful promises that we have in Christianity. You have the third person of the triune God, the Creator of the universe, living and residing in you. That is a powerful, powerful thing. And that's the promise that He gives us. We're not here to do battle alone. We're not here to make it through our tribulations and our tough times on our own. But God Himself is with you each and every day of your life. And He goes on to explain how this whole thing happens. And He says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." Now I want you to think about that for half a second. Because many times we go to church, or we think about people coming to church, well, I got to clean up my act before I get there. I got to make sure that I'm good enough to go ahead and go to church. But this says the opposite of this. God sent His Son to die for the ungodly. That means all those people that we look out there that think we think are sinners. That's who God died for. And then if we get down and we get honest with ourselves, we also realize that He had to die for us. We spent this last week studying all the different doctrines of the Christian faith. And we went through the law and the Ten Commandments. And at the end, you get done with all of them and you ask the question. The same question I've asked every confirmation class I think I've ever had. Can you follow them? And what's the answer? No. See, this becomes the question. So if I'm supposed to follow that law and be perfect in order to get to heaven, how do I do that? I can't. And that's why God sent His Son. To die for us, the ungodly. And then to start to work in us by the power of His Holy Spirit to transform our lives, that we would be ambassadors for Him. And it's very interesting because you kind of deal with this whole thing about, well, I wouldn't necessarily do that. And this is what verses 7 and 8 say. For hardly will one die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare to even die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How many of us would take the place of a murderer or a thief? How many of us would take on their punishment? Most of us would say, well, no, they got what they deserved. Well, guess what our penalty is for sin? Death. And what God does for us is demonstrate His love for us. You see, love is worthless unless it accompanies action. And this is the ultimate action of love. God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't say when you were good. doesn't say that when you were perfect. What it says is while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. And it is only through Him that we can even think of ourselves as righteous. But we are, because He has made us to be righteous. He has declared us righteous by faith. And He has declared us justified, as our text says. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through His death, through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. Now that's a whole bunch of stuff there. Much more, having been justified by His blood, having been declared just as if I had never sinned, by the washing away of sin through His blood. And through that we will be saved from the wrath of God. God poured out all His wrath upon His Son. There is no more wrath for mankind. It was all taken by Jesus Christ. This is a demonstration of love. This is how much God loved us. Now the question becomes even better for those who are parents and especially those who are fathers this day. Would you beat your children or despise them for the sins of someone else? We all say, well, no. But that's what God did. God allowed His Son to go to the cross to take upon our sins, to pour out His wrath upon Him so that we would not have to face that wrath. And now we call Him our Heavenly Father, for indeed He is. And then it comes the next part. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through His death, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. And see, there's the other half of this. We have been raised to that new life in the person of Jesus Christ. We are guided in our new life by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And this is what we come each and every Sunday to hear about. That we have been saved, but also that we have been raised to new life. And so we have joy. And not only this, but we also have joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation or the atonement. There is no longer anything that separates us from God. Nothing. We can say, yes, there is. The only thing that separates us from God is our own imagination and Satan deceiving us. God has bridged that gap. He has taken sin out of the way. And this is the promise that you have been given. And this is the Savior and the God that will continue to work in your lives throughout your days. And this is the Savior and your Heavenly Father who, when you mess up, and I have no doubt in my mind, as much as I like to get all flowery and say, yep, you'll be perfect little Christians, guess what? I know better. Because I sat in one of those little white dresses. And I messed up. But my Heavenly Father also forgave me. And He forgives you. Today yesterday, today, and tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, we give you thanks that you indeed have called not only our confirmands, the newest adult members within this congregation, but all of us into the grace and the mercy of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that you would continue to lead and guide all of us by the power of that Holy Spirit that's living within us. That we, Father, would be ambassadors for you and we would show your love. That we, like you, would demonstrate your love to those who do not know who you are and who your Son is. Father, bless each and every one of these confirmants. Be with them. Lift them while we lift them up to you and ask that you would lead and guide the steps of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.